Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on the blogspot, librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So, I just finished reading Lock the Doors by Vincent Ralph, and hadn't read his stuff before, and it looked really kind of cool and spooky and horror thriller. It's, you know, the top of the book says a new home, a perfect family, a deadly secret. So it looks like, ooh, it's like some sort of horror thriller. And it's not horror really at all. It's a little bit on the psychological thriller, which doesn't necessarily make it bad because of that. And it's not necessarily a bad book at all. It's just tedious and long. It takes a very long time to get through the narration, to get through the point. And so basically, instead of having pace breaks or time breaks in between like paragraphs or whatever, this author is like, here is a moment in time, new chapter. Here is a moment in time, new chapter. Here is a moment in time, new chapter. So there's like 99 chapters in this book plus another. So our protagonist is Tom. They describe him as kind of a little quirky, a little off, with his OCD and everything. And, his OCD is specifically referring to, it's not like OCD, like a chemical thing. It's an OCD because of his history and his past. He has a need to, make sure that everything is safe. He was born, he was raised early on, he had a pretty good life, he, you know, had parents who loved him, and it seemed to be all happy-go-lucky, at least in his memories, until something happened, and then all of a sudden his parents broke off, and he pretty much never saw his dad again. And then his mom got involved with a number of inappropriate and bad choice boyfriends who were violent and or emotionally manipulative. And so because of these years of being with these guys, Tom has become very much OCD on checking things, and he wants to make sure he notices anything that might be out of place, and he checks the locks each night before he goes to bed, and he has a system for doing it, but it doesn't always work. So when he moves into this new house, he is extra cautious, and it turns out his mom has finally found a good guy and married Jay, and Jay has a daughter, Nia, who's about the same age as Tom, apparently. They go to two different high schools, though, for reasons. And so they move into this new house, and Tom immediately notices these teeny tiny little holes on the doors, and he realizes, and for some reason he actually goes online and buys a lock, and it's a slide lock, and he figures out that it fits teeny tiny little holes on his bedroom door and on Nia's bedroom door, that this house that they just moved into. And so we find that it turns out somebody was locking people in the rooms. They weren't locking people out. These are doors. These are locks on the outside of the doors. So apparently whoever lived there before, when they went to bed, someone would lock them in at night or lock them in for whatever reason. So we start our mystery. And of course, because Tom's a little off and because he's a little paranoid in some cases, at least according to the people around him, people laugh off the locks. They laugh off the idea of these little holes meaning something. But things start developing more and more. And in his room, they realize that under some paper that had been on there, when they tear off the papers, they're getting ready to fix up the room and everything and make it his own, blah, blah, blah. His stepsister having already put up posters all over her room, as a typical teenage girl will do. They pull down whatever's on his wall and discover there's writing, scribbling of the words, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, all over. And so, well, that's kind of spooky. And he leaves it up for a little bit before he decides to paint it over. And then, because, you know, he wants to know what the mystery is and what's going on. And then he discovers a little while later that in the wardrobe of his room, there's carvings and more words and images and stuff inside this wardrobe, inside this bedroom. So, it's not exactly outright stated from what I can see, but it does appear to be set somewhere in England. It's a little, it's not strongly language-based England, but it's definitely mum versus mom and a few other things. But it could, you know, it could be, you know, somewhere in the U.S., but it really seems more England-ish. And so we have these mysteries about what's going on and everything. And it turns out not only is he now living in this new house where he has a mystery, but the people who lived there right before, who sold the house, actually only moved down the block a little bit, bought a new house, put up walls with spikes and metal things around it and all kinds of things to make it like a big get out, like you have to have the code to get in the gate, to get into the, just to get to the door, to get to the, you know, so they put up all the security, and so now he wants to find out what's going on, and it turns out living there, is a family, the family that used to live in his house, is, the family's moved down the block, I don't know why it's just down the block, but okay, is Amy, who's around his age, and meets him and finds something that kind of clicks, and she feels a little bit more comfortable with him. And of course, he's using her. He likes her, and he has that spark a little bit. But it's hard to kind of tell why. It's a little bit more tell than show. But he is interested in her. But he also is interested in figuring out what happened in that house. And then she has a little brother who's going to the school that she used to go to, that that his stepsister still goes to. So there's kind of some, it's a little bit of wonkiness, but they have a little bit of a thing, and she's trying to tell him, you don't dig, don't find, don't look. And trying to make excuses and trying to keep him away while kind of at the same time going, hey, somebody might finally figure this out and that might not be a bad thing. So we get most of the book is in Tom's point of view. It's Tom's thing. But about 20% of the book switches over to Amy. And so we find out what her thing is. And it turns out, yeah, it is a little... there is a mystery there, and it is a little kind of creepy, but it doesn't quite build the way the book kind of makes it look like it by the cover and by the quotes that are used on the cover and the back and this new home, perfect family, deadly secret thing. It's not quite that kind of, it doesn't hit that level of drama. It is interesting in a way, but I don't know. It just... the way, for the longest time, everybody just discounts Tom and what he's saying, and is like, yeah, that's not, whatever, whatever. And then all of a sudden, everybody believes him at once. It's just kind of like, wait, what? He has a friend who seems to just be there to bounce ideas off of, and also to help him figure things out, but then is gone most of the rest of the time. You don't really see him hanging out very often with the family. It does kind of drag a little. Sometimes a lot, but mostly just a little. It's just kind of like, okay, let's get to the point. Okay, let's move on. Okay, let's get to the point. Let's get there. Why is this taking so long? So looking at the book, we have 391 pages. And they're not necessarily bad pages. It's just, it takes a while to get there. It takes a long while. And then once you get there, it's kind of like, oh, okay. But why couldn't they? And why couldn't they? And there's the reason for not reporting things and, you know, calling police immediately and all that other stuff. The reason just seems to be a little, really? That's not a great reason. We also have some logistical things. At one point, there's a long distance that they take to get to some place. And then on by the time they get back, there's a car, and I'm like, who was driving, and who was, and were those people just sitting there that whole time for however long this was? And it was kind of like, wait, what? But the bigger one that I have a problem with is early on, it's established, or at least we're told, that the room that Tom is in used to be Amy's room. That's what we're told. We're told that this used to be Amy's room. The room with the help me help me's and the carving in the wardrobe, that was established as Amy's room. It's like, oh yeah, that was my room. And let's go see what happened in my room. And it turns out that's not true. And I don't know if the author forgot or was supposed to explain that why the lie was there or what, but no, it turned out it was Amy's little brother's room this whole freaking time. And it's just kind of like, was that an error or was that intentional? And if it was intentional, was there an error about explaining the intent? I don't know. Tom's kind of a neutral character. He's not like super excitable. I mean, it may be that he was intended to be kind of like, ooh, ah, a little, you know, people treat him like he's a little odd, a little off, maybe even a little creepy because of what he focuses on. But he comes off as just kind of there. There's not a lot of excitability. There's not a lot of emotion. There's, I mean, I get where he's coming from. He's had a difficult life. He has seen abuse and he's seen a hardship and he's been there and he wants to make sure that nobody else goes through that. And I get that. But the tenor and the tone is very low key. The mood is very meh. So it has moments, but the other characters are actually much more interesting than Tom himself. He's not, even though he is the main narrator for most of the, like 80% of the book, he's not very interesting. I found it to be just a little kind of bland and blah. And like I said before, a little tedious. It just took a long time to get where we were going. And it wasn't necessarily the most interesting journey. Like going on a car trip from one city to another and then the middle of it is just desert or something. And there's like, you know, no mountains, no buildings, no cool things to look at, no giant ball of twine, no dinosaurs, nothing. There's nothing on the road. It's just empty and vast. And that's like, but you have to get there. That's the only way to get to your destination is to drive that way. So that's kind of like what this was. Tom was kind of like this dry, deserty path to get to the end, which had its moments and was really kind of interesting and like, ooh, ah. But in the end, it's still kind of like anticlimactic, I guess. So, all right. So the book again is Lock the Doors by Vincent Ralph. And it has its moments, but it has some pacing issues. And Tom is rather bland and there are some errors in there. So in my general rating system, 1 to 5, 1 being avoid, 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 horrible, horrible, get away, get away, get away. 5 being, this is incredible, you absolutely have to read it. 2 being, eh. 3 being, eh. 4 being, huh. This is like a 3. This is an eh. And I tend to be, I guess, kind of negative. I mean, if I'm looking at my previous reviews and podcasts and stuff, I tend to be aiming in around the 2s and 3s and sometimes 4s. But, you know, I was entertained. I had a couple of days of this. It took me a lot longer to read than I wanted to, just because it was kind of draggy. But I did read it, and I did at the end of it go, okay, I've had a story and I've had some entertainment. So, you know, yay. But again, it was just kind of draggy. So if you're looking for a just kind of a quiet psychological thriller, like a little bit of suspense and that kind of stuff, but nothing like super scary, this is probably good. And I would say try this one. But if you're the kind of person who wants like super thrills and oh my gods and who could it be, this is not that kind of mystery thriller psychological thing. But yeah, if you need it toned down, and I do know people who need it to be toned down, you know, super scary or just too much, you'll get their heart racing and freak them out. This is a toned down. So again, lock the doors, Vincent Ralph. The book makes it look a lot spookier and scarier and creepier than it is, but it does have a couple of moments, and so yay for that. Again, 3 out of 5. And this is, of course, The Library Talker. I'm Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I am the Library Lady on Podomatic, again, where this is hosted. And so for those of you who've stuck it through, again, and I admit that I was kind of bland on this particular podcast. I'm sorry about that, but that's how the book made me feel. Thank you for sticking it out. Thank you for listening. And thank you for, if you're coming back, I appreciate that very much. Feel free to reach on out, especially on Podomatic or librarytalker.blogspot.com. Give me comments. If you have recommendations, let me know. If you have anything that you'd like to say, please, you know, be kind, but be true. And I will be happy to correspond. Again, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you have a really great day.